So what you want me to do?
I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it gets funky when you gotta.
Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, July 27th, 2017. And as you can hear, there's a little bit of pep in my step, a little bit of tinge of excitement in my voice, and that's because there's real, legitimate football to be watched today. Sort of. The Packers are out on the field for the very first practice of the 2017 season at 8:15 a.m. Central Time, but they will only be wearing helmets and shorts. No pads today, Thursday, no pads tomorrow, Friday, and then on Saturday, they put on the pads for the very first time after two practices in what the coaches call shells. My name is Michael Cohen, and this is the Packers Podcast. This is the Thursday episode of our Monday through Friday format. We thank you very much for listening and for all the support that we got during the first week or so of this new experiment. No podcast Saturday and Sunday over the weekend, but then Monday morning, first thing, we'll have a new episode for you that recaps anything that happened in the afternoon on Friday and Saturday's practice as well. Mike McCarthy had his season-opening press conference Wednesday at the media auditorium inside Lambeau Field. It's one of his longer press conferences of the season. During the regular season and even just a regular day in training camp, McCarthy usually speaks to the media anywhere from 6 to 13 minutes on any given day. But there's a few times a year where he goes a little bit longer, and this is one of them, in addition to the end of the season, the combine, when he's very generous with his time, and then usually at the start of OTAs, he'll go a little bit longer as well. So McCarthy spoke for 21 minutes on Wednesday and was asked about a wide array of topics. So I think the easiest way to go through all this and make sure that you guys are up to date is to just run through some of the bigger bullet points of what was said, and I'll mix in some of my thoughts as well when it comes to those specific topics. The first one is a pretty obvious one. Mike McCarthy's going to get a lot of questions about the running game during training camp. If any of you were in Green Bay for OTAs and minicamp, you saw a huge disparity in the number of passing plays that the Packers worked on versus the number of running plays. And the logic behind that is pretty simple. Because you can't wear pads in OTAs and minicamp, there's not a lot of benefit that you can gain out of running the football, because so much is predicated on leverage and what guys can do, the offensive linemen at the line of scrimmage, in terms of moving the guy across from them. And when it comes to the running backs, there's so much involved with bouncing off contact, breaking tackles. If you don't have pads on, first of all, it's a dangerous exercise, and second of all, it's a pretty futile one, because any of these coaches will tell you that once the pads go on, the game changes entirely from just about everything that you saw in the spring. So to offset that, McCarthy said that the first couple weeks of training camp will be very heavy on the running plays. It's not going to be anything exclusive where they won't pass the ball at all, but you're definitely going to see a heightened emphasis on running the football because the Packers did not do as much of that during the spring. And of course, when it comes to the players at the running back position, at the top of the depth chart remains Ty Montgomery, who is a converted wide receiver. He converted to running back early last season, and now he's got his very first full training camp under his belt, or will have his very first full training camp under his belt at the running back position. McCarthy reiterated on Wednesday that Montgomery continues to lead the pack when it comes to the running backs. He continues to put himself out in front of that group, take on a little bit of a leadership role within that classroom, and there was nothing to suggest that McCarthy is going to back down from his statement earlier in the spring that said Montgomery will be the starting running back. Then he was asked about a lot of the rookies behind him because, first of all, the Packers drafted three running backs, one in the fourth round, one in the fifth round, and one in the seventh round. And then they also signed two undrafted free agents. So you've got Ty Montgomery, who's going through his very first training camp as a running back, and then you've got five rookies behind him, plus fullback Aaron Ripkowski. So running backs coach Ben Sermons has a tall task on his hand in terms of getting these guys ready to go. McCarthy was asked, when it comes to the rookies, what are the types of things that will differentiate them or win them more playing time on the field? And he basically laid out one overarching goal that makes a lot of sense when you think about the Packers' offense. He said that in order to stay on the field or win a spot on the field, these young running backs need to show that they can be three down players. What does that mean? It means that they can stay on the field for first down, second down, and third down and handle all of the responsibilities that come with the different types of plays you'll see on each particular down. So first down and second down, can they run the football? Can they catch a pass out of the backfield? Third down, can they catch a pass out of the backfield? And more importantly, can they pick up blitzes and protect quarterback Aaron Rodgers in addition to the offensive linemen that will be out on the field for every play? So if these guys want to get out on the field, they have to be three down linemen. And why is that so important? Not only is it important because you have to know all the different things that I just explained, all the different techniques and roles and responsibilities, but the Packers like to run no huddle offense. That's no secret to anybody. And McCarthy said that is basically the driving factor behind why three down players are so important, because they want to be able to go to that no huddle offense at any time that they think it's worthwhile. So it could be the middle of a drive and all of a sudden McCarthy might snap his fingers and they'll say, all right, let's get into this no huddle really fast. But if you have a player, a running back, any position really, that can't handle the different responsibilities on each down, then you have to substitute, and that slows you down, it takes you out of the no huddle offense, and it really defeats the purpose. So if you're watching these guys in training camp, these young running backs, pay attention to a couple things. One, pay attention to what they look like catching some passes out of the backfield. Do they look fluid? Do they look comfortable? Are they running before they look the ball into their hands? Number two, you don't see this drill very often because it's so physical and it can cause a lot of injuries, but the blitz pickup drill, the one-on-one blitz pickup drill, that's one running back going against one linebacker or one pass rusher. Last year, I think they only ran it one time that we could see in all of training camp, but pay attention to that because that will tell you who can block and who can't. If you look at those two drills, you're going to get an idea of which players, at least in your mind, have the tools necessary to be this quote-unquote three down running back. And then as the exhibition games go along, you'll get a chance to see if your impressions match up with what the coaches think in terms of how playing time is divided. Next, McCarthy was asked about roster cuts. So for those of you that follow the NFL pretty closely, you know that every team has a 90-man roster going into training camp. The regular season rosters are only 53-man rosters. So you have to cut down significantly from training camp to the regular season. In past years, there was a middle cut, if you want to call it that. About three quarters of the way through training camp, there was a cut from 90 down to 75 that basically was weeding out the players that you know have no chance of making the team and that you know you're not interested when it comes to re-signing players for your practice squad. But the NFL has done away with that this year, so there's only going to be one cut, one giant cut at the end of training camp from 90 to 53. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how teams across the league approach this, because there's a number of ways you can go about it. Number one, you could continue to follow a similar practice to what there's been in years past and cut a number of guys sort of like a trickle effect as you get later and later into camp. Because if you know there's 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that just are not going to fit with your program and what you want to do, you can get rid of those guys, and then the instruction that your coaches are going to be giving in the subsequent days is being applied to a smaller group of people. It's tailored to a smaller group of people. And so in theory, each player gets more one-on-one time with the coach if there's fewer players there. That's one option. Option two is what I think Ted Thompson will do, and that is to hold on to his 90-man roster as hard as he possibly can and squeeze it and bear hug it because he loves all his players. And maybe he'll cut one or two guys a couple days early, but I think he's going to keep as many of the 90 guys as possible up until final cuts, because Ted never likes to show his hand. He loves all of his undrafted free agents dearly. It's one of his favorite parts of the year, is unearthing these guys from various, you know, conferences, leagues, divisions, everything. And so I just don't see him voluntarily cutting guys if he doesn't have to, or if, you know, guys aren't injured. And you talk about injury settlements, waiving guys injured. These are different things that come up as training camp goes along. McCarthy said he is totally in favor of eliminating the 75-man cut. And the reason for that is the longer these players are in Green Bay and working with the coaches, the more you find out about them, the more you can learn about their skills, the things they need to work on, the ways they learn. And so even if it's not a guy that makes your 53-man roster, even if it's not a guy that makes your practice squad, we've seen a number of times just in my two seasons covering the team that at certain points in time, whether it's September, October, November, December, January, when injuries really start to pile up, we've seen the Packers bring guys back onto their practice squad that didn't survive the final cut from 75 to 53, but the Packers liked them enough to sort of, keep their file in the top folder of the desk, so to speak, and then when they need one, Ted Thompson opens this metaphorical drawer, pulls out his list of guys, and says, oh, we really like John Smith in training camp, but he was the 54th guy that would have been on our team. That's a bad example because the 53 is the cutoff, but 10 guys will be on the practice squad. So he was the 64th guy that we would have kept if we had an opportunity to do so. And so let's give him a shot. If he's not anywhere, let's bring him in for a tryout, see if we can sign him. And maybe this is a guy that, will pan out because we did see a little bit of something in him in training camp. Another topic that came up was special teams. I know that special teams drills can be a little boring to watch in training camp because, A, it involves mostly young and inexperienced players, so you're not seeing, the typical star power that you will on offense or defense. And B, there's so many guys on the field and so much instruction and so much walking through drills at a very slow pace or a half speed or whatever the case may be, that it can get a little dull. And you're not the only ones that think that. There are times when us writers, start thinking, my gosh, how many kickoffs can they possibly do? How many times can they possibly go through all this punt return and stuff like that? So the reason why this year's special teams is going to be a little more interesting is because of all the turnover that the Packers experienced from last season. Now, generally on special teams, there's going to be a ton of turnover anyway, because you're talking about a lot of the bottom third players on your roster, your first and second year players, your undrafted rookies, and these are guys that might get weeded out as the seasons go along. So from one year to the next, the bottom third of your roster, in theory, is where you're going to see the most churn, the biggest churn rate. But the Packers have a new punter, undrafted rookie Justin Vogel from Miami. They have a new long snapper in Derek Hart. And so you're looking at 66% of your specialists, punter, kicker, and long snapper, being brand new. Then you take one step further back and you look at the punt and kick returns. Well, Ty Montgomery returned a lot of kicks last year, and if he's their starting running back, I'm not sold that Mike McCarthy is going to allow Ron Zook to use Montgomery as a kick returner, because that just risks further injury, and if they have other guys that are capable on the roster, why do that? So if you buy into that logic, then the Packers have one opening at kick returner. Then you look at punt returner. All of you know that Randall Cobb has done this at times throughout his career in sort of spot duty, and he's actually been very effective. But by and large, over the last four years or so, it's been Micah Hyde who has done the larger amount of returning when it comes to punt returns. And he's had, I think, 3 punt return touchdowns, and he didn't have a lot of success over the last 2 years. But prior to that, he was among the league leaders. Well, Hyde was an unrestricted free agent that left and signed with the Buffalo Bills. So now you're talking about having a new punter, a new long snapper, one new kick returner at least, one new punt returner at least. Those are some pretty big positions and valuable and important positions to be having a significant change like the one the Packers are going through. So pay attention to those guys and, don't take the punting for granted. Take a look and see if Justin Vogel is kicking directionally the way the Packers want him to. In other words, is he getting his punts close between the hash marks and the sideline? Or is he leaving them out in the middle of the field where the opponent can catch them and have room to run? Take a look at Derek Hart's snaps. And obviously, most of the time, the location is pretty good because these guys are professionals. But take a look at the velocity. Is it the same from snap to snap? How much does the holder have to move the football or spin the football? These are all really small things that, you might take for granted in a training camp because it seems like a fairly mundane activity. But they're going to be pretty important this year. And as always, take a peek at who's returning punts and kicks. There's usually a lot of those guys, as many as 6 or 7, and most of them will never return a punt in the regular season. But that's just Ron Zook and Mike McCarthy cycling through as many guys as they can to see who can do what and to what ability. So that's one thing that I ask you guys to keep an eye on over the next couple weeks. Then, of course, McCarthy was asked about a couple disciplinary matters. When it comes to LaTroy Guyon, who was arrested for driving under the influence on a vacation in Hawaii earlier this summer, McCarthy said that it is a pending matter, but that the Packers are continuing to work with him. For whatever reason, I do not know. This is the third time now, at least, that Guyon has embarrassed the franchise with his off-field activities. First, he decided to play guns and drugs and drive around with a ton of marijuana and $190,000 in cash and a gun in his truck. Then he earned a suspension for performance-enhancing drugs, which was his second suspension because, of course, you can't play guns and drugs and not get suspended. So you're talking about two suspensions and one arrest prior to this arrest earlier in the summer, and it was June 21st. So Guyon has now been arrested twice, suspended twice in his fairly short tenure with the Packers, and for a player that is very mediocre, that is not a difference maker by any sense of the word, it baffles me why they continue to employ this guy, because not only is he not giving you tremendous returns on the field, he's not a star player, he's not giving you 10 sacks, 8 sacks, forced fumbles, things like that. But he's also just embarrassing you. I mean, this is a guy that continues to make poor decisions, dating all the way back to the time his time with the Vikings when, you know, he faced multiple battery charges and was accused of slapping his former girlfriend in the face, who was the mother of his child, and sending threatening text messages and all these different types of things that just make you wonder what goes through your head. Because if you have an opportunity to play in the National Football League, you just should not be doing these types of things. So what McCarthy said was that the legal matter itself out in Hawaii is still pending, so McCarthy can't comment on that. And any potential suspension that would be added on by the league in terms of additional penalties for this drunk driving violation, because don't forget, Guyon already has the 4-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs, So if the league were to decide to impose an additional penalty on top of that, they never make those decisions until after the legal process is done. So I expect this case with Guyon, if it actually ends up going to trial, which is what his attorney said he wanted to do, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a couple continuances to sort of distance this thing into the season as far as possible. And that way, you know, Guyon has the best chance of returning to the field. We saw the exact same thing with Geronimo Allison last year. He was charged with possession of marijuana in mid-December, I believe it was, and his case didn't wrap up until, what was it, April or May, just you know, 8 weeks ago or so. And the reason for that was they kept pushing it off and pushing it off so that he could finish the 2016 season without potentially missing a very important game. So Guyon will be in training camp as long as he passes his physical. He will be eligible to practice, and I don't know why he's still here. So that's what I've got on Guyon. The other legal matter that McCarthy was asked about involves safeties coach Darren Perry. Perry was also convicted of drunken driving. The incident took place in December, and the case wrapped up a couple weeks ago. Perry has to pay a fine of just under $1,000, and he will also lose his driving privileges for a significant amount of time. I believe it's 8 months. And McCarthy said that, quote, "the internal process has moved forward in accordance with the National Football League, and I'm comfortable with where we are." Now, typically, I believe if you only have one drunken driving offense, so if you just go out and get a random DUI the way thousands of Americans do all the time, probably even millions of Americans, my understanding is that you probably won't be suspended for a first-time offense. However, for Darren Perry, this is his fourth drunken driving incident in the last 20 years and his third conviction. The fourth time, he was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving in New Orleans, but the charge was later dropped. So to me, clearly that suggests a problem with alcohol. You know, I don't know if Perry is still, you know, involved in terms of having a dependency on alcohol or what the case may be, or I don't know if he's gone through counseling or taken steps to try and deal with this, but any time that you have four instances in which you've been caught drunk driving in 20 years, that's a problem, because the likelihood that those were the only four times that Perry ever sat down behind the steering wheel while he was intoxicated is pretty low. So that's a scary thing to think about, and it's yet to be seen whether or not he will be suspended by the league now that his legal process is wrapped up. And then the last thing I'll put in here is a little bit of a fun item. New Packers tight end Martellus Bennett, the big free agent signing, lives in Chicago. He used to play for the Bears, so that's where he and his family live. And Bennett drove back to Green Bay last night, just like all the other players were flying in or driving in to report for training camp. But Bennett arrived late in the evening, and when he got to the campus of St. Norbert's College, where the Packers players spend the first couple weeks of camp in regular dorm rooms, Bennett realized that he was locked out. It was too late at night, everything was shut down, and he really didn't have any way to get into his dorm room. So what does Bennett do? He hightails it to Lambeau Field and falls asleep in the locker room at the foot of his locker, and posted a few videos on his Instagram page, or his Instagram account, or whatever you want to call it. So be sure to check those out. It was actually pretty funny. Not suitable for children. There is some profanity in these posts. But pretty interesting, and also a little bit of a funny quirk that the big free agent signing had to spend his first official night on the eve of training camp sleeping on the floor in the Packers locker room. As I mentioned, the Packers hit the field at 8:15 Central Time today, Thursday morning. Some of you might be listening to this podcast before that happens. Some of you might be listening afterward. Either way, first thing Friday morning, I'll have a recap of the very first practice and everything that took place. We thank you so much for listening. This is the Packers Podcast. My name is Michael Cohen, and I'll see you tomorrow. Make a note to express yourself.